I do desire your prayers this evening. I know this is a sad time for those that mourn, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm happy tonight. I'm happy to know that one of my brothers has received his crown in glory, and that's a good thing. He worked his life to get what he now has. Now my heart goes out to those that mourn, but for my brother, I'm overjoyed. And I'm happy tonight. I really am. And I'm happy to be in the same way that my brother was in. And I'd like to show that joy. There's different ways that we as the saints of God show joy. And I was thinking about that today. The different ways I've seen the saints show their joy. I've seen runners. Have you ever seen runners? Get happy and get out of their seat and begin to run the aisles. I've seen walkers. One old sister there in Pacoima last year got up. She got so happy and she began to walk. And she walked and she said, "I used to be able to run, but I'm too old, so now I just go to walk." She was happy. There's one brother I know that I'm real careful not to sit next to him during service because he'll get happy and just out of the middle of nowhere, he'll jump up and he'll shout. He goes, "Praise God!" And then he sits right back down just as fast. Somebody asked him one time, "Why do you do that?" He said, "I don't know. It just comes over me." That's all right. That's all right. There's one sister, Bonner, sat behind me for a couple years and got to know her real well. She'd be back there. I'd hear it go, "Whoop! Whoop!" And about the third, "Whoop!" I tell my wife, I say, "She's about to blow." She'd jump up, start walking those aisles. She'd start exhorting us to trust God, to look to Him, and He's all we need. And then she'd sit back down. You know, it's okay. It's okay. I heard a story a man tell about how he got saved and God had reached down and pulled him out of a deep pit of sin. And well, he went into this church and he began going there, and he'd been going there for some time, wasn't amongst us, and he was quite an expressive man. He'd get happy. Well, after some time, a few of the elder brethren decided they had to have a talk with him. So it was after service one day, and he had his Bible and books, and he was leaving, and they called him aside and said, "Brother, we'd like to have a talk with you." Oh, he said, "All right." So they began to talk to him and tell him, "We're concerned about your conduct in service. You see, we just don't think that your jumping and shouting is dignified. And it's disruptive. And we think that you need to stop." Well, he got humble and apologetic. He said, "I am so sorry." He said, "I didn't know I was disturbing anyone." He said, I sure want to ask for your forgiveness." He said, "But you know," he said, I come into service and I sit there and I listen to the minister. He begins to start talking about Jesus, about the blood He shed, how He washes us from our sins, and how He picks us up out of a pit of sin." And he's sitting here holding my books. I got a jumping shot. Amen. It's okay.
Amen.
It's okay. Amen. It doesn't matter how the Spirit moves you. Some just sit out there and cry. I've seen that too. And the tears just running down there. What's the matter? I'm happy. I don't even know why I'm just happy. I'm happy to be here. I got here tonight and I sat down, I looked around, I told Brother Leslie, I said, "You know, I just love the saints." He said, "They're my people." And I said, "They're stuck with me." It's okay how you express, however the Spirit moves you. You see, I got to thinking about this when Sister Cordway said the other day, quench not the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead and rule and guide your life. If He wants you to jump and shout, jump and shout. If He wants you to just sit there and cry, that's okay too. However the Spirit moves you. It's a wonderful thing. It surely is. And I'm thankful for the liberty that the saints have given me and given others, that we can express ourselves as the Spirit leads. There's a lot of places that don't allow that. But I'm thankful for that freedom and for that liberty. Turn with me, please. I'd like to talk to you a little bit. This is totally different than where I was just at. This 1 Corinthians and the 3rd chapter. Once again, I ask for your prayers that the Lord will bless. Can't do this without Him. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 1st verse. I'm going to read this whole chapter, I believe, if the Lord so sees fit. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet. Now are ye able." Let me repeat that. "Neither yet, now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Isn't this something? How long have these people, this church in Corinthians, claimed the salvation experience? Was it a week? A month? A year? 5 years? I know not. I haven't looked into it that far. But I know that Paul is saying here that they're carnal. And the manifestation of their carnal is magnified in what they do and what they say. There's division and strife because one says, I'm of Paul, and another one says, I'm of Apollos. How could that be in the church of God? I'm of Jesus Christ. I don't care about Paul and Apollos. I may love them as my elder brothers, and I may listen to what they have to say. But it's God who I belong to. The carnality here. They couldn't take meat because there was strife and division. Isn't that something, dear ones? Where there's strife and division and envying, we can't get into the deep things of God. Because we're shallow, and only shallow is what we can take. May the Lord help us. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Paul is going to tell us right here himself, is he not? But ministers by whom ye believed. That's all. We just brought the word and you believed it. Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Paul said, Apollos watered, but it was God that gave the increase. It's not us. It's not you and I. This thing doesn't belong to us. Anybody says, that's mine. That belongs to me. You're not in order. God. The chapel, the grounds belong to God. The Word belongs to God. And you and I were bought with a price. We're God's. It doesn't make any difference if you're a minister or not. That's irrelevant. What does Paul say here? For then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gaveth the increase. You see, it's all about God. It's not about you and I. It's about God that gives the increase. If I come up here and preach for Brian, that's not going to do us any good. I've got to preach what the Holy Ghost gives for me to say, because it's for your edification, is it not? Woe unto me and to any that would get out of the order of God. It's God that gives the increase. For then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Apollos and Paul are one. Brother Humphrey, you and I are supposed to be one. How can we be one when we're two separate? Because our goal is the same. It's to glorify God. Man asked me here, We were in a meeting out west, and a minister got up. He said, "I want to ask a question." He said, "Why are you here?" And out of my mouth, just without even hardly thinking, I said, "To make heaven." And the Lord checked me. He said, "No, you're not." He said, "You're here to glorify me." Sorry, Lord, that's right. Heaven is just a reward for glorifying God while I'm here. That's the benefit. Let's glorify God, and heaven will take care of itself. He's got it waiting for us. If we do the job He's got for us to do. Oh, thank the Lord. How can we be one? One in spirit. One with that goal in mind for the salvation of souls, to hold up Jesus and to glorify God. That's how we become one. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You ever think about that? We think about the penny. We're all going to receive a penny. Is that all? The penny is heaven, dear ones. That's what the penny is. It's heaven. It's making heaven. It's getting through that golden gate. Or pearl or whatever it is. But it says here, reward. Dear ones, there's some rewards that go along with living for God. We have them here, right here on earth. But there's a reward in heaven too. How do I know? Because I see it in the Word. Wasn't it two brothers wanted to sit on one on the right and one on the left? And Jesus said, "It's not mine to give, but my Father." God's going to give someone an opportunity to sit on His right and on His left. That's okay with me. I just want to lean on His breast one time. Ask John, move over a little bit. John, let me in. Let me have a turn. There's rewards. Dear ones, there's rewards in heaven. So every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. You are. I am. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he build thereon. A foundation is being laid. Paul said, "I laid a foundation as a wise master builder." God gave him the blueprint and God gave him the plan, and he told him to follow it exactly to it. Isn't it what Solomon was told to do? You build this temple, but you follow that plan. You don't deviate from it. You do it just like you're told. There's a carefulness here, is there not? I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. Other men will come after Paul. Paul and Apollos are gone now. Now it's you and I. Let us all take heed how we build thereon. Take heed. Be watchful. Be careful. Do it according to the plan. And where do we get that plan? From the Holy Spirit. He'll tell us how to build, how to work, and how to move. For other foundations can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's the foundation that's been laid. Jesus Christ. The true and the only foundation. Oh, there's other foundations out there, but they're not the foundation. They're not the true foundation of God. This is it right here. His Son, Jesus Christ. For other foundations can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Boy, there's a materialist, is there not? Go from gold to stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Is that here? Do we go through some fire here? I believe we do. But it's also there on the last day when that great fire will come. Anything that's not truth, anything that's not sound will be burned up. But that which is true, that which is of God, that's what's been led by the Holy Gift and the Spirit of God, it'll stand. That's the gold and that's the silver. But the wood, the hay and the stubble. You know, when you think of gold and you think of silver, we're talking about precious metals. The more fire I've learned that you put to it, the better it becomes. The more pure it becomes. The more wealth it brings to those that own it and possess it. You see, you bring that gold and that silver to a boil, and as you're bringing it up, and it becomes a liquid, all the dross, that's of no value, no good, comes to the surface, and you scrape it off, and what you see below there is that beautiful metal. It's yellow, it's gold. If it's the color of silver, that's what it is, that clear color, and you can see your reflection in it. I got to do a little bit of that on the job. I got to melt some nickel. Nickel Babbitt. I tell you, when I scraped that dross off, it was ugly and it was nasty. But when I got it out of the way, oh, that was just so beautiful. Nickel color. I could see my reflection in it. So the more heat you put to gold and silver, the more pure it becomes. That's what God wants us building on, this foundation that's been laid in our heart and in our life. But there's some that build with inferior products. Wood, hay, and stubble. You see, those things are burnable. When you put the fire to them, they're consumed. There's nothing left. They're of no value. Precious stones, you can put fire to it, but it'll stand. You know, I was reading here recently about the great ships that used to sail over there in those seas where Jerusalem is. And they have found and brought up from the bottom of those lakes ships that would carry hundreds of tons of water. Because you see, they found these barges down at the bottom, and that's what was on them. Cut marble. Slabs, some of them 3 foot by 6 feet by 80 feet long. You ever heard that? Well, I read that. Maybe you can look that up. But I read about it and how they brought these up. They were mega barges. And they used to ship that marble down. That's how Solomon, I believe, got the marble to build the temple. From quarries far away, distant lands. You know, they brought the wood, come from Lebanon. Brought it in from many, many miles away. Precious stones, marble. Beautiful and fine. And will stand the test of time. Will stand against the fire. It may be blackened, but it'll stand strong. It'll stand true. But the wood, the hay, and the stubble. Dear ones, what are we building on this foundation? Will it stand the test of time? Have you got it right? Do you know that you've got it right? I was talking to a brother just the other day. And we began to talk. And I told him, I said, the Word and the Spirit will always agree. If it's right, if it's true, if it's gospel, the wood, the Word, and the Spirit will agree. And I believe that's so. You see, He's just come amongst us. And I'm thankful for it. Wood, hay, and stubble. What are we talking about, wood, hay, and stubble? Well, let's go on and read just a little bit more. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Here's that reward again. If it abides, if it stands true, if it doesn't get burned up, there's a reward for him. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. How can this be? What are we talking about? Dear ones, do you know that we're talking about doctrine here? We're talking about doctrine. But we're talking about a man that had the true foundation. We need to understand that this man, and the reason why he'll be saved, he may be a little off in some of those things that we know are correct. But yet his foundation is right. He's got the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's deep in his soul, and he's built upon it. But he's missed some things. How do I know that can happen? Tell you a story. Everybody was gone into camp meeting, but I had to stay home and work. So I asked the Lord if I could go somewhere and be a blessing to someone. And I felt that I could go, and so I got dressed and I went into town, and I was driving around and I drove by this church, and there was a whole bunch of young people out there, teenagers, and they all started waving. So I just pulled in. I said, "Lord, is that my sign? Am I supposed to go here?" So I pulled in. I got, and I said, "Are you so-and-so?" And so there was a young minister that was coming to preach to them from another town, and they thought that it was me. I said, no, that's not me." "Well, come on in. You're welcome." So I went in, grabbed a seat. I sat there, and Sunday school started, and the man got up to teach Sunday school, and he began to read some scriptures and started talking about sin and not having sin in our life. And I raised my hand, and he called on me. I said, "He that's born of God does not commit sin." You'd have thought somebody slapped him across the face. "Oh no, you can't live free from sin," he said. "That's not what the scripture means." And this young man up in the front pew got up. It was that young minister that came in. And he began to take my side. He said, "Well, no, wait now, the Bible says..." And he settled everybody down and put a calm on it. And I didn't have nothing to say. I was kind of shocked and just kind of sat back. Because you see, he took over. And what he said was right. Thank the Lord. But what have they been teaching there all along? You see, that was their teacher and been a teacher for them for many, many years. And this young man come in and tell him something different. I was having trouble understanding this. Well, after Sunday school, this young man came back to me. He said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so." And I introduced myself and said, "I think there was a mistake." I said, "There was no mistake. And you know it." "No," he said, "no, we're right." He said, "Are you going to stick around?" I said, "Yeah, now I want to stick around. I want to see what he had to say." So I did, and he preached a good sermon. Wasn't real powerful, but it was a good sermon. And afterwards, I said, "I want to take you to lunch." I said, "I shot a deer this year. Come on out, let's have some venison. Some of my children are there, my wife's gone. We'll have some venison." "Okay," he said, so he come and we spent the afternoon talking about God. And we talked about salvation, how we both got saved, and how the Lord had been dealing with us. And then I began to talk to him about a sanctified spirit. He said, "I've never heard of such a thing." "What do you mean, sanctified?" I said, "I mean being filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't you teach that?" "No," he said, "I've never really..." "No, our church don't teach that." So I began as simple as I could to explain what it meant to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What it was to have a sanctified experience. Presenting your body, a living sacrifice. Allowing the Lord to come in and cleanse you and fill you with His Spirit. And after I got done talking, he said, "You know," he said, "I'm going to tell you what happened to me." He said, "The Lord had saved my soul. And then he called me to the ministry. And he said, but I had an up and down experience. He said, I had trouble. I wasn't strong enough to stand the way that the Word of God said that I should. Up and down, up and down." He said, "I just got tired. I knew I was supposed to preach. It was a burning on me." He said, "But how could I do it with an up and down experience? I didn't feel right. I didn't feel clear. He said, one night I just got so fed up with it. I got so tired of it. I was just ready to just give it all up. He said, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I got down on my knees and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of up and down and up and down. I want something real. Lord, I've got to have some power. You've got to give me something that I don't have. I need some power from you if you want me to continue to preach your word and go on and live this life like the Bible says. You're going to have to give me something that I don't have and I don't even know or understand. He said, something come down over me and fill me. And he said, my up and down experience stopped right then. I said, brother, you got sanctified. Didn't even know what he had. Huh? Isn't that what this talking about right here? He had the foundation right. And without teaching, without knowledge, there's a lot of people out there that aren't hearing the gospel in all its truth. Do you know that? I meet them all the time. I was working out. I was building some handrail for a job, and I was in there buying steel, and this young man was working with me, and we began to talk about the Lord. It's pretty easy when that's what you love. We began to talk about the Lord. He began to tell me, yeah, he said, I left this church and left that church, and now I'm over at this church. He said, I left the Pentecostal church. They didn't have it. He said, I couldn't. That wasn't right. He said, no. I said, that's, ooh, so I want that. I said, well, where are you at now? I said, oh, I'm over the Baptist church. I said, do you believe once saved, always saved? He said, no, I don't believe that stuff. He said, I know you can tell. I got it. Had to come back and do my first works over. I said, well, what are you doing there? He said, I don't know where else to go. He said, they promoted me to youth pastor. I said, you're a youth pastor and you don't even believe right then. He said, no. I don't know where to go. I said, I know where to go. Can I share some things with you? I sent him some faith and victory and some tracks. Oh, Lord, help us. Yes. He had the foundation right. He'd been saved, baptized. There's a lot of men and women out there that don't have this truth and don't know it. Talking to Brother Dan today. We were talking about the responsibility that comes to you and I, you know, because we have. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Right. Now, Lord help. Now, I'm not telling everybody to go out there and evangelize. That's not it. You do what the Lord teaches. But what I want to do is I want us to understand some things that I see in the Scriptures. If any man's work abide which he had built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Oh, Lord, help us. We're going to have the foundation built on Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean to have the foundation? It means to take on His likeness. His character, His attitude. Yeah. That's what it means. His love, His mercy, and His forgiveness. The sacrifices that it takes to be a child of God, just as He sacrificed everything to be our Savior. What would you pay for a soul? What would you give for a soul? Do we ever ask ourselves that? Lord, you just gave me this new car and I really like it. But I'll give it away if you'll save my daughter. I'll be glad to give it away if you save my son. Or if you heal my wife, Lord, I'll give it away. What would you pay for a soul? I'm not telling anybody to give their cars away. I'm just telling us to think. To think. I had a man tell me the other night, right here, he said he remembered an old brother. He said he didn't have a lounge chair either in his house. All his chairs were wood and they were straight back. He said he didn't want to get comfortable. There was too much work to do for God. Brother was talking about getting real comfortable while you're trying to study and falling asleep. Well, that brother didn't have that problem. He wasn't very comfortable. He'd have to be awful tired. Lord, help us. What will we give? What is it all about? The foundation. Dear ones, we're not talking about sin. I'm not talking about sin in a person's life. I'm talking about not knowing and understanding the real gospel sometimes. The doctrines of the Church of God. Confused. Don't understand them. But the foundation is correct. I'm going to come back here, but I want to read Hebrews for just a minute. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hebrews 6. 6:1-3. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. How can you leave them? Well, you go beyond them. That's what it is. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation. Here it is, the foundation of Jesus Christ, of repentance. Isn't that what we repent? That's the first thing we do if we're going to get saved. Justified experience. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. All dead in sin, that's what we were. That's what I was. But I repented and a foundation came into my life. His name's Jesus Christ. Therefore, leaving that principle of dead works and of faith toward God. It took faith. It took faith to believe that this is what I needed to do to satisfy my soul. And then it goes on, of the doctrine of baptisms. I've got that. That's part of that foundation. And at the resurrection of the dead, do we believe that? I believe it. And of eternal judgment, yes, I believe that too. And there's a day coming. And this will we do if God permit. Dear ones, this is the foundation. This is how we build and what we build upon. These things. But now we're leaving them and we're going on now. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. Yes. Remember blind brother saying, I once could see and I was blind. Now I'm blind and I can see. Oh, yeah. I once thought I was pretty wise. I found out I ain't too smart. Brother Austis Wilson used to say, the more I learn, the more I learn, I know absolutely nothing. When he said that, I thought, whoa, where does that leave me? Oh, that leaves me in an exciting place. I got all that to learn. That's exciting. I've got all that to learn that he's already learned. He can't share it with me now. He's gone. And dear ones, those generations behind us, they've got to learn it too, or it's going to be lost. And if we don't bring it down to them, it's gone and it may be forever. Nah. You know why not? Because the Spirit is still going to be faithful to any soul that will listen. But it's still a responsibility on us to bring it down. As our forefathers brought it down to us, we must bring it down to them. And it's going to take a life. Laying that foundation and building on it. Not wood, hay, and stubble, but gold and silver. Something that will stand the fires of hell. Amen. And the fires of God too. Defiling this temple. Lord, help us. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Heard a brother say one time, he said, our very best thoughts and our very best ideas are nothing next to God. They're nothing next to God. You see, He don't think like we think. Doesn't reason like we reason. Lord, help us. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Rather, Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Isn't that something? It's all ours. Sometimes we worry about it. It's all ours. We're a child of the King. We're a child of God. An inheritance, our brother is Jesus Christ. And He's willing to share all that God has given Him to us, with us. It's all ours. All we've got to do is ask. All we've got to do is ask. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Now I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and the 21st verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I think about these scriptures just a moment. Everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of God. I've met a lot of professing Christians. But their life was not Christ-like. They had a profession, but nothing to go with it. Nothing to back it that was godly. Man came to my house the other day, wanted to share some literature with me. I said, yeah. He said, I'll take your literature if you'll take mine. Oh, no. No, I won't take yours. Well, why not? If I'm willing to take yours, why won't you take mine? Well, I said, let me ask you one question. He said, what's that? I said, do you believe in divine healing? He said, absolutely not. I said, you have a form of godliness but deny the very powers thereof. He just turned around, got in his car and left. Pretty simple. I've heard people say they have trouble running off some of those people that come by. They seem to just turn and run away from me. And I ain't trying to run them off. I want to talk to them. Well, but listen to what it says and why they won't enter heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? They taught on Jesus. They used his name. They preached it. They taught it. Have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? They cast out devils in the name of Jesus. How is that? Dear ones, my first pastor told me, hadn't been saved very long, got a chance to go to different meetings and met different ones, and he told me, he said, the ministers out there, he said, you may have some favorites. Some that you like to listen to and some that you might not like to listen to too much. He said, I want to give you words of advice. He said, those that you really don't care to listen to, you'd better listen real close. Because they're the ones that's going to have what you need. He was right. So I just can't have any favorites anymore. They're all servants of God. Just take what they have. Listen and apply. But it's talking about here people that have been rejected. Yet they have the power to cast out devils. Do you wonder about that? Dear ones, sometimes, talking about ministers now, Let's not confuse talents for the Holy Ghost. Let's don't confuse talents for anointing. I've heard some messages that were good, but it was all done. It wasn't edifying. There was no spirit. But I've heard some messages that were so simple, short, and plain. They got the job done. One of my pastors told me, they said, you know, you hear the same story, the same message 1,000 times. But when it's anointed, it's brand new. It's fresh. It's edifying. Why do we keep repeating these scriptures over and over? Because when it's anointed, it's brand new. It's edifying. It hits us where we live. Thank the Lord. Is it possible that people would have the power to cast out devils and yet be rejected of God? Yes. Do you know why? Because God's faithful to the honest soul. I told you that story. I'm a repeater. Let me tell you that story again. Old woman was given up for dead. They told her, that's it, you're dead. Can't live. Just gave her a short period of time. She was reading the Bible. She came across those scriptures. If any sick be among you, call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. She got on the phone and she called a local minister. She said, I need for you to come over and pray for me. I'm dying. So he thought, okay, I can do that for an old lady, last request. So he came on over and he went into the house and there she was, bedfast. Skin and bones on her very last. He looked at her and he thought at first she was dead. But she wasn't. She turned and looked. He said, what do you want me to do? She said, there's some oil right there on the nightstand. She said, I want you to anoint me and pray for me that the Lord would heal me. He thought, what is this? I've never done that before. But he said, well, she's dying. What will it hurt? No one will know. So he took the bottle, took the cap off, and dumped the whole thing over her head. And he said a little prayer, and he was on his way. The next day, he was driving by her house. And he said, oh, I seen all the bed linen hanging out there, washed and clean. He said, well, she died. Must have died in the night. Then he took another look at who was hanging that bed linen up. And it was that old lady. She had something. She got a hold of something. Was it because of his faith? She was obedient.
That's right.
And God blessed and healed. And God will do that.
Amen.
But on the day of judgment, those that haven't lived it may have done great things. I'll come to the judgment bar and be rejected.
That's right. Oh, God.
Lord, help us to stay broken and stay humble. Lord, is there anything in my life that would hinder me, confuse me, or deceive me? Lord, let it not happen. I'll be a fool for you, Lord. I'll apologize. I'll get down. I'll humble. Whatever it takes. I'll sacrifice. I'll do whatever. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, many. There's going to be many. Have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Dear ones, there are churches going all over the world and they're doing wonderful works. Sometimes I get ashamed and embarrassed. Brian, you ought to be out there doing more. Lord, help me to do what I can for thee. But on the day of judgment, because they don't have the foundation right, they haven't got the foundation of Jesus Christ right, they're going to be rejected. Dear ones, that's the gospel of Christ. That's what you and I have got to do. We've got to come to that gospel that Jesus Christ preached so plainly and so clearly and so simply that even the simplest can get a hold of it. I did. Thank the Lord. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Oh, he knew them. He knew their names. He created them. But he didn't know them on a personal level. You know that personal level that you get into at 3 o'clock in the morning and you get down on your knees and you pray and the glory of God comes down and floods your soul? He didn't know them that way. May the Lord help us to know him. To know him just like that. Just like those two men that I met that got something. How did they get it? How were they taught it? I know not. But I know God gives the increase. And he'd like to give the increase tonight. Do you want what I'm talking about? Come on up and get it. It's free and it's yours. You pray for me.